It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Arrington was overjoyed by her upset victory over incumbent Congressman Mark Sanford in South Carolina's District 1 Republican primary.
We are the party of President Donald J. Trump.
Tuesday, President Trump tweeted his support for Arrington, saying in part, "Mark Sanford has been very unhelpful to me in my campaign to make America great again. He is MIA and nothing but trouble. He is better off in Argentina." Back in 2009, then-Governor Sanford admitted to traveling to South America for an extramarital affair. 2 years after completing his second term as governor, Sanford reclaimed the congressional seat he held in the 1990s. Sanford usually sided with Trump's agenda, but was unafraid to criticize the president when he disagreed.
A lot of people would come up to me over the course of this campaign, they say, "You for or against Trump?" And I'd say, "I'm neither for nor against Trump. I'm for ideas that I've long stood for over the entirety of my time in politics based on limited government."
To go and bash the president on CNN isn't helpful. We need to go up to Washington and do the people's work.
Sanford is not the only Republican hurt in primaries for criticizing the president. In Alabama, Martha Roby, a four-term congresswoman, was forced into a runoff. And in races around the nation, GOP candidates have been jockeying for position as most loyal to Trump.
When you're in primary season, again, it's usually a good thing not to be at odds with the most important elected official in your party.
Sanford is the second House Republican to lose a primary this election cycle. The first is Congressman Robert Pittenger of North Carolina, who lost his primary back in May.
Okay, so that was Fox News last night. And of course, the election took place on Tuesday. And that was the talkers yesterday after the election. Sandy Rios with you and happy to be. I want to thank Matt Barber for filling in yesterday. Always doing a great job. Matt is just the greatest, and I appreciate when he can spend that time with you. You wonder what I'm doing. Well, I'm in a lot of different meetings sometimes, and that's what makes me know what I know. So that sometimes I have to take be away from the microphone. So I'm just lucky to have people like Fred Jackson and Matt Barber to host on my behalf. In regard to Mark Sanford, you know, the jury's out about what that actually means in terms of policy, but it is true that Mark Sanford was very hard on the president, sometimes rude and insolent, actually, to him. And Katie Arrington, I don't know anything about her, but I'll just tell you what I'm hearing. And honestly, this is just what I'm hearing. I really don't know. She says some good things. She said she's a Trump backer, but some have warned that she may not be all that she says she is. But I don't know. I really don't know. But we do know that Mark Sanford has been knocked out, and he was a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Katie Arrington is saying she wants to be part of the House Freedom Caucus. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's just some inside stuff. Also, this is interesting. Barbara Comstock, who was very much a never-Trumper, serving in Virginia. Barbara used to be a real strong conservative. Many of us actually know her personally. And somehow got off the rails, and she did get off the rails. The first thing that I recognized in her was her support of some Muslim Brotherhood operatives who were running for office and then operating in the Capitol. It's just been strange. But don't think it's so strange. I think a lot of Republican so-called conservatives have failed to take a strong stand and make a distinction on that issue. And Barbara's one of them, and that's just one issue. Plus, she's been very vocally an opponent of the president, so she's out. She was beaten by a guy named, I'm doing this by memory. His first name is Shaq. He won in her district, and he was supported by Sebastian Gorka. Jenny Thomas is the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and other notables. So he won that seat. He won the Republican primary, so we'll see what's going to happen. Then there's Corey Stewart, who beat Bishop E.W. Jackson, who's a good friend, and would have been a marvelous senator for the state of Virginia. Corey Stewart, a strong Trump supporter, who is going to be easily targeted because of, look, I don't know anything about Corey Stewart, so don't take this as an endorsement or a criticism, because I don't know enough about him to just have an opinion yet. But Corey Stewart, the black mark against him is that when he was running for governor, he ran on not tearing down the Confederate statues. And of course, in this climate right now, that is a very difficult thing to defend. So he was the winner in the Republican primary in Virginia. But he went on CNN with Chris Cuomo. And I just want you to hear Chris Cuomo, of course, the news person, right? So Corey Stewart goes on his program to talk about his win, and it sounded like this.
What's happening, Chris, inside of the Republican Party is that the party is changing. It's becoming the party of the little guy. Once upon a time, it was the Democrats who claimed to be the party of the working man. No longer. They abandoned the working guy. They slammed the door in their face. And now it's President Trump and the new Republican Party that is supporting working Americans, blue-collar workers. That's why we're winning states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, and we're about to take back Virginia as well.
That's why Trump may have won them, but I'm talking about you. And you seem to be cottoning to a very specific brand of humanity. And you're right. It is a little guy that you are being a part of, but it's a little hateful guy. You have a well-pronounced past of saying that you agree with and that you like people who push ugly, bigoted, intolerant, and racist notions.
Hey, that's a level of lie that's just not true, Chris. Even for CNN,
a level of lie that's just not
true. Even for
CNN, is there any level of lie that is true?
That is not the case.
I'll make the case to you.
I have always condemned, including on your program,
yes,
any white supremacists or bigots or anything like that. We want nothing to do with that.
Have you?
But that's the only thing that you and the left have. You claim you play the race card every time because it's the only thing you have. The president has a success of bringing back
an economy, the
lowest unemployment rate
right now
in 40 years.
This is about you.
That's what I'm
supporting. And who you have represented as your friends, heroes, and like-minded individuals.
Isn't that interesting? So Chris Cuomo, of course, it's supposed to be an interview. Maybe this looks like the Tucker Carlson, although Tucker doesn't really attack his guests. He just argues with them. But that was just an interesting exchange. And so Chris Stewart is, Corey Stewart is going to be the Senate candidate from the state of Virginia, the Republican candidate. So we'll see what happens with that. It's going to be an interesting race, as so many of them will be. These guys really put their lives on the line, boy. And it's going to get really dirty. Some are saying that the win of Chris Stewart is going to hurt people like Dave Brat. I don't know if Dave would agree with that. We'll have to talk to him about that. Anyway, Virginia, the battle continues. It's on the very thin line of being, it's already purple, and it's on the very, you know, it's like they've won. I think they have the state assembly by one vote, one Republican more than the Democrats. And so it's a tough state to be a Republican in right now, and it's a fierce fight for conservatives. And of course, the Republican establishment in Virginia is very strong, much like the National Republican Party, mirrors it pretty closely. And that's, I think, why they've been so ineffective, honestly. All right. So today, that's a smattering of what happened. And in a few minutes, by the way, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And there may be, I'm sure there are lots of races that I don't know about or may just haven't had a chance to mention that you might want to comment on. It's 888-589-8840. But we're going to talk about anything really that you want to talk about. But that's certainly an area of interest. Let me say, today is the one-year anniversary of that horrible shooting on that ball field in Alexandria, Virginia, where Steve Scalise was so almost mortally wounded. And can you believe it's just been a year? Can you believe it's just been a year? I can hardly believe that. And also, along with that, it reminds me of how little coverage that horrible story got. This guy goes out to kill Republicans, and he says it very clearly to Mo Brooks in the parking lot. Are those Republicans out there? And he goes out and tries to commit a mass shooting. He only manages to hit Steve Scalise. He's taken down by one of the Capitol Police. I think it was a female, as I recall. And then it was just hushed. You know, nothing to see here. By the way, from an insider yesterday, I heard that when you and I hear about what actually happened in Las Vegas, that mass shooting at that concert, we're going to be beside ourselves. I've hinted at it before, but just stay tuned. I think the hint is that it was a whole lot more than the FBI has dared to say, and certainly that local law enforcement there has dared to say. These are dangerous times. But I want to move on because today the Inspector General's report is supposed to come out this afternoon. That's Michael Horowitz. It's the Inspector General's report. I have a lot to tell you about this. I think there's so much. Catherine Herridge gave an interesting report on Tuesday, which I want to go back to because it talks about Rod Rosenstein threat. You know what? We're not going to play it. I'm just going to tell you Rod Rosenstein, who's heading the Russian investigation because General Sessions recused himself, allegedly threatened the GOP staffers to subpoena their email, their private correspondence, if they didn't stop pressing, this is the inference, pressing him on releasing information on the FISA warrants. It's pretty seedy sort of stuff from my perspective. And Catherine Herridge updated that report yesterday. This is clip two.
Senior Republican lawmakers responded to allegations that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein threatened to subpoena records and turn the tables on the Republican-led House Intelligence Committee and staff over the Russia case.
It is deeply concerning that instead of having a cooperative relationship with this agency, respectful of the importance of the Congress, having access to documents regarding matters that they're investigating, that they have oversight responsibility for, and this is not the way to conduct that.
Both the FBI and Justice Department dispute the characterization. A Justice Department official said Rosenstein never threatened anyone with a criminal investigation. On Tucker Carlson last night, the Attorney General, who was not at the January meeting, backed his deputy's account.
I'm confident that Deputy Rosenstein, 28 years in the Department of Justice, did not improperly threaten anyone on that occasion. But we do believe that we have tried to be cooperative with them.
Congressional leadership known as the Gang of Eight is expected to get another FBI and Justice Department brief tomorrow, but Republicans say only the records will satisfy their subpoena breath.
Wow, so that caused a real firestorm. Jim Jordan was beside himself about General Sessions defending Rod Rosenstein. I think to put this in context, General Sessions has completely recused himself from that. I'm pretty confident that he's not watching any of this because he feels he is exercising his personal integrity. He said he would recuse himself, so he has really turned Rod Rosenstein loose. He is speculating based on who he thinks Rod Rosenstein is. I'm telling you, I don't doubt the conservatives' report about Rod Rosenstein. I want to read to you what Andy McCarthy said in part. By the way, we'll put this on our Facebook page. It's Rod Rosenstein's subpoena threat. He's conflicted and he's acting like it. Andy goes back and tracks where this all came from. Remember that the House was pushing Rosenstein on releasing what those FISA applications were. Did the FBI use the salacious unverified dossier, which is unprecedented in the FISA court? These FISA applications are signed by the highest levels, i.e. Rod Rosenstein or the Attorney General. They're a big deal. The FISA court takes the FBI's word on this and the Justice Department's word that they've been vetted. But, of course, the dossier was not vetted. It was paid for by opposition research through Hillary Clinton and the DNC. And none of that was shared with the FISA court. It was really an unseemly process. And look, that's what we're thinking. It was an unseemly process. But the Oversight Committee, which has every right to ask for these things, Rod Rosenstein will not release those FISA applications so that they can actually check on it. And he's getting very testy about it. And then in response, threatening them. It really is very messy. And let me just say that Andy ends by saying, on what planet is it necessary for Jeff Sessions to recuse himself, but perfectly appropriate for Rod Rosenstein to continue as acting Attorney General for purposes of both the Mueller investigation and Congress's probe of Justice Department investigative irregularities? In other words, Rod Rosenstein has a conflict of interest. Andy thinks he should recuse himself. This is really interesting. There's more to say, but there always is. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, so let's have a good conversation. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hi, I'm David Barton, founder of Wall Builders.
And I'm Tim Barton, the president of Wall Builders. And we want to let you know about an opportunity this summer for 18 to 25-year-olds to come be a part of what we're calling the Leadership Training Program. Actually, The website is wallbuilders.com/leadership training if you want to see more information. But really what we're doing is trying to help young people combat a lot of the nonsense they're learning in academia, things that are anti-American or anti-the Bible. And so we actually dig into the Bible. We dig into American history and the Constitution and education and try to give a really good inoculation against some of the things that they're hearing in academics.
Yeah, Tim, you're exactly right. This is such an excellent opportunity to have the apologetics of the things that they'll face in academia and the culture. So if you're from 18 to 25 years old and you want training in this, and by the way, you get to actually hold the handwritten documents of George Washington and John Adams and other aspects of American history, this is a great opportunity this summer. 2 weeks, go to wallbuilders.com/leadership training. Hope to see you this summer.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness.
I'll be the song for you. I'll be the symphony.
The music of Sasha's song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. For he is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu. Today.
Just about every business I know has a code of conduct. There are rules and regulations. The owners of the company set the policies, and the workers are expected to follow. Now, the mainstream media would have you believe the battle over the national anthem and the NFL is a First Amendment issue. But it's really not. It's a workplace issue. The National Football League is a business. The players are the workers. The football field is their workplace. The rule is either stand and respect the Star Spangled Banner, or hide in the locker room like a bunch of cowards. That's the rule. And if the players cannot follow the rules, they should find some other line of work. And if they find our national anthem and our flag and our military so repulsive, if they are disgusted by the American way, maybe they should consider President Trump's suggestion and find some other country to live in. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Listen, I owe you a major apology. I hope this doesn't, I don't think this happens very often. I'm not sure it's ever happened, but I got that Comstock thing all wrong. Barbara Comstock won her race 60.71% to Shaq Hill's 39.29%. That's a very big mistake that I just made. Someone told me that she had lost, and because, you know, usually I read all these things for myself. I had not read that. So I'm wrong about that. And so I hope that all of you listening mark that. I was wrong about that. Barbara Comstock won her district in Virginia 60.71% to 39.29% for Shaq Hill. So that was a big error, and I apologize for that. I want to change the subjects for a second before we go to the phone lines. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. All right, this is interesting because this happened on the Senate floor yesterday. It was Chuck Schumer talking about the conference with the meeting with Kim Jong-un. Just an interesting twist at the end, so you can listen for it. Here it is.
Certainly, we are all heartened to see the two leaders engage in a dialogue. We feel much better when both President Trump and Chairman Kim are talking rather than trading insults and military threats. We all want this diplomacy to succeed. But Now that the dust is settling after the Singapore summit, three things are clear. First, Chairman Kim achieved far more than President Trump did. Second, our adversaries, Russia and China, have gained, while our allies like South Korea and Japan have lost footing and some degree of faith in America's reliability. And third, the summit was much more show than substance, what the Texans call all cattle, no hat.
Okay, so did you catch that? What the Texans call all cattle, no hat. Texans, is that you're saying that it's your all cattle, no hat? I think that is just one of the funniest things I've heard in ages. It's, let's see, it's all hat, no cattle. You know, if you're all cattle and no hat, that means you actually are doing something. You just don't look like you're doing something. You just don't have the hat on. But you actually own the cattle and are operating everything. So he got it just the opposite. I just think that's hilarious. You know, irregardless of what he said about the conference, which, by the way, I just think there has to be a caution about Kim Jong-un. I think the conference, look, I support it. And I support the president meeting with him. But I do think we have to be so careful about overstating what it accomplished or what we can expect from the future. All right, I would like to talk to you today. I've got lots more to say. In fact, let me interject. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. I want to interject one more piece of information because I think this is very important, and I don't think anyone's talking about this. Remember that Senate staffer that was indicted, arrested by the Justice Department just a few nights ago? He wasn't just a staffer. He's the man who was in charge, the director of security for the Senate Intelligence Committee. The Gang of Eight that was just mentioned a few minutes ago, he was in charge of all the security, all of the intelligence agencies of the U.S. He was aware of and funneled all of their intelligence to these committees. And he was, of course, having an affair. Of course, I shouldn't say of course. He was having an affair with started as a college-age girl. He's like nearly 60 if he isn't 60. Having a 3-year affair with her, and then she suddenly rose, you know, to stardom. And he was also talking with other reporters. That's where some of these leaks, we believe, were coming from. And so he's been arrested. In fact, he faces up to 15 years in prison, 5 years per reporter that he may have leaked to. And so that's what's happening with James Wolf. That's a very big story. And I just think we're not hearing enough about that. There's an article by J.D. Gordon in the Hill. There was one yesterday. And J.D. Gordon was a Pentagon spokesperson from 2005 to 2009, retired Navy commander. He's been a full-time senior national security and foreign policy advisor to Republican presidential candidates Donald Trump, former Governor Mike Huckabee, and Herman Cain. And he talks about what happened to him in interacting with James Wolf, this arrested staffer, Senate staffer for the Senate Intelligence Committee. How miserable, how James Wolf and others were in the business of destroying lives by leaking this information. He talked about how it's not funny and how damaging it was and how hard. He said something about, in the months to follow, I'd be called before all three congressional committees and the special counsel investigating Russian interference in the 2016 elections. And similar to many of the roughly 50 Trump associates also called before perjury trap-laden investigations, I was treated like a human pinata to some degree by many in the mainstream media. And one of those was the New York Times. And he goes on to talk about this reporter, this young reporter who was having an affair with Wolf, who Wolf allegedly, it seems, was giving information to, and that's why she climbed the ladder so quickly. So it's just amazing. And we're going to put that article on our Facebook page, too, because I think it shows the human consequence when government is out of control. We've been getting some really interesting feedback from you guys, and I want to stop and talk about that for a second. I always appreciate your comments on Facebook and on email. By the way, the email address is sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. That's the email address. But also you can go on Facebook and make your comments. But let me read a few of these. This is from Gerald. He says, I've been listening to AFR for many years, starting back before the Obama nightmare. He says, you, among many others at AFR, have been my inspiration. I draw strength from God to peruse pursue, I think he means that's what that's supposed to be, pursue the office of mayor for my hometown of Dequeen, Arkansas. He says, I will also be putting my country's constitution and conservative views front and center with my love for Christ and my job as a servant to the city. And that's Gerald Byrd, and he's going to run for mayor in Dequeen, Arkansas. Good for you, Gerald. I'm hoping that lots of other people will take inspiration from you and do the same thing. This is from, this is interesting. This is from Dixon. This is on Facebook. He said, after checking America Family Association's website for voter guide for the state of Alabama, he said, he asks if I have a recommendation for guidance for statewide races in Alabama. And, you know, Dixon, honestly, right off the top of my head, I don't. I would say check the Tea Party in Alabama. I think it's still pretty strong. I would check if there's a values voter guide for Alabama. I'm sure if you look around for voter guides, conservative voter guides, Alabama, you could probably find one. But the thing that I wanted to read that Dixon suggested, I'd be interested if someone could do a follow-up on the accusers of Justice Roy Moore, who decided to conveniently hold off another few months until after the Republican primary and run off to tell their decades-old stories. Where are they now? I bet many would be curious to know. How many are living in new houses and driving new cars? Was that an outright theft of a Senate seat? You know, I have to say, Dixon, every time I hear Justice Moore's name, you know, on the news, it's always as though he's a joke, that he's it's just, it's a tragedy, just an amazing tragedy. You know, so many people's lives are being destroyed by what's happening in media and what's happening in the culture right now. And Justice Moore is probably one of the biggest examples. Lieutenant General Flynn is another one. Lieutenant General Flynn may be redeemed. You know, I think that might happen. I'm looking for that. But I don't know about Justice Moore, at least for right now. You know, and it's such a tragedy. I have to say, I believe this was character assassination. And I would love to see those women investigated myself. But, you know, no one's going to do that. No one's going to be going down there and in finding out if they've been enriched in some way by the stories that they told. I don't think if anybody knows anything about that, I would love to hear it. But that's from Dixon. This is from Tony, who took the time to write Netflix and sent me the back and forth between Netflix and I don't know if Tony's a girl or a guy. Sorry, Tony. I'm not sure. But it's really, really interesting. And the subject was 13 Reasons Why. So Tony says, why in the world would you put a show on like 13 Reasons Why when your company knows young teens are committing suicide after watching it? Netflix has been contacted by many people to ask that they take this off the air, but they keep adding to the problem. I'm just curious. I'm not affiliated with any group. I'm just a regular guy. So now we have the answer. Tony's a guy. Okay. So anyway, and he does the back and forth. And then he says to them, I'm really curious as to what kind of person would think that making suicide look cool in a movie is. That is one sick person, and Netflix is helping push that kind of stuff. I love Netflix, but this is way too far. And the person writes back, you know, I apologize if this content offended you in any way. Part of our agreement, blah, 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 you know, placate, placate, placate. And then the person from Netflix says, I'm really sorry that you are feeling that way. I understand where you're coming from as a parent. And it goes on and on. Excusing, Netflix has received input from the scientific community and concerns around contagion were taken into account when creating the second season. Anyway, it's more blah, blah, blah. And then, but Tony is relentless. And it just says, what on earth is to be gained by running this show? Is there any redeeming factor? And so the Netflix person says, I've taken your feedback and sent it to our content team, blah, 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 blah. And then Tony replies, imagine your child being found hanged. I've heard from parents who have found their young teen that way. It's heartbreaking. I've said my piece. Tony, God bless you for doing that. And, you know, I just think sometimes because we're overwhelmed by the bad things that are happening in culture, we just feel helpless and we don't do anything. And I would reiterate what I say every day at the top of the show. Just do something. You did something. You know, just bloom where you're planted. Have one conversation. start, you know, volunteer, work in a campaign or whatever you're led to do, but do something. I just don't think that anything is wasted. We'll never know this side of heaven, you know, what our efforts have gleaned, what seed we've planted may have blossomed. We just don't know. But I just think we need to do something. The Southern Baptist Convention, of course, continues to be the focus of interest. I think Matt talked about it a little bit. Now, I do not personally know what's been happening on the floor there. And some of you may know. By the way, if you do, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We talked to Bobby Lopez Tuesday morning about his resolution on reparative therapy, they call it. That's therapy to help those confused about their sexuality to embrace heterosexuality, which is God's design. And also, his resolution basically said that to sign off that people are born gay, they just have to be celibate, is really an affront to God, because you are endorsing what's sin. What you want to do is help a person to take on the mind of Christ. That's what we're all trying to do. Fight against our natural desires and our natural inclinations and live holy lives. And so Bobby's resolution went nowhere. They wouldn't even present it for a vote in the committee. So that's kind of the way it is. And that's all I know about that. I got an email from Linda. She said, it's obvious that the left is trying to take over the Southern Baptist Convention. Typically, they are using the false charges of racism and discrimination and oppression of women. And she says, I'm not going to repeat everything she says because she has very strong feelings about J.D. Greer and Russell Moore and others. And I'm just going to be careful in terms of what I read here. But she says that J.D. Greer sounds like every liberal politician. And Andy Stanley, who is out to change the way we do church, has the same overconfidence. She doesn't believe he's teaching real deep truth. She says the Bible is clear that leadership in the church should be male. Changing that is rebellion against God's order and always damages the truth. I don't disagree with Linda. She goes on to say, women are contributing powerfully to the life of the church without being in charge of churches and denominations or Bible colleges. And then she goes on to list a set of examples, and she includes me on the list very kindly. She says, as a female, I have never felt put down or discriminated against in any Bible-believing church. Those suggesting otherwise are the dividers. And she mentions Russell Moore and J.D. Greer. Those trying to unnecessarily reopen racial wounds are the dividers. If the religious left takes over the SBC, the Bible-believing churches should leave and form a new organization called Bible-Believing Baptist Convention and never look back. That's from Linda. So that's her opinion on it, and would love to hear more from you guys. All right, our phone number again is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Sheila in Texas. Sheila, is that right? Sheila?
Well, good morning. I love your show. Yes, I'm from Thank Texas, you. And I had to call my husband this morning and ask him if he'd ever heard about Mr. Schumer saying, and he said, well, yes, but it's all hat, no cattle. And Mr. Schumer had it backwards. It's all, he said, all cattle, no hat, which makes no sense.
I know. So. I know. Well, that's the point. That's the point. It's really funny. Sheila, I just laughed when I heard it. It's just so funny because he's trying to, Chuck Schumer, Mr. New Yorker, is trying to be all Texas on us, you know, to use Texas terms. Back against President Trump, but it backfired on him, and it's really pretty funny. Actually, I'm going to replay that when we return. Sheila, thanks a lot. By the way, the phone number is 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sin is pleasurable for a season, but the end is destruction. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The show Sex and the City premiered on HBO 20 years ago. It celebrated women living extremely promiscuous lives. One-night stands were glamorized as the ultimate feminist statement. 20 years later, real-life Carrie Bradshaws are coming forward to express their regret as they are left to deal with the wreckage their lives became after trying to live out what was portrayed on the television screen. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but its end is destruction. VeggieTales said it well. God's way is the best way.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
God has given the citizens of America the ability to choose our leaders. So how should we handle that profound privilege and responsibility? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress discusses how to choose godly policies and leaders in local, state, or national elections. Learn how a Christian should vote. All this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Join us for Pathway to Victory with Pastor Robert Jeffress, weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
In a democratic republic such as America, the hard work of democracy is done by the people. At the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C., September 21st through the 23rd, you'll be equipped to take up the battle for human life, strong religious liberty, and thriving families by strong conservative leaders. The Values Voter Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. Visit valuesvotersummit.org to register and obtain more information about the summit. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. Just hit **345. That's **345. **345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The once seemingly inevitable prospect that Republicans would lose control of the House of Representatives in this fall's election to Democrats determined to impeach President Trump is perceived to have faded. These days, poll-driven conventional wisdom is discounting the so-called blue wave and the political trauma it would likely inflict. Instead, President Trump seems confident that his improved popularity, a booming economy, and recent domestic and foreign policy exploits have made him politically unassailable. Today's prognosis may prove as fleeting as the previous one, however, if Speaker Paul Ryan gets House Republicans to impale themselves, with the president's encouragement, on a vote for amnesty for huge numbers of illegal aliens. The base that elected them to secure the border and prevent rather than incentivize further flows of such aliens will feel betrayed and stay home in November. Let's not go there. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The summit was much more show than substance. What the Texans call all cattle, no hat.
Chuck Schumer, The New Yorker. What the Texans call all cattle, no hat. I'm going to go to Mark in Texas to respond to that. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Sandy. That is probably the most encouraging thing I've heard. And anything he's hit, like head, he nailed that on the head. My wife and I got to watch the interview with Sean Hannity, and she made the comment that it was so refreshing to see how humble Trump was with all he accomplished with Kim Jong-un. And it's such a refreshing change of pace when everything that Obama did was I did this and I did that. And I remember hearing I so much from Obama. It's nice to see someone with humility that has all cattle and he doesn't have to wear the big old hat to show it.
Very good, Mark. Very good. Very well put. And fine. I love your ending because now you have explained why all hat, no cattle is the way the expression goes. We've used that for Trey Gowdy recently. That's what people that I know in Congress say about Trey because he's all the hat. He's got the look, but he doesn't produce. And to be all cattle and no hat is to produce but not have the appearance, you know, sort of like not be wearing it on your sleeve. So it's just really, he got it just the opposite. I just think it's hilarious. All right, let's go to, Laura in Oklahoma. But hang on just a second, Laura. Let me just repeat that Dr. Robert Oscar Lopez, Bobby Lopez, is on staff at Southwestern Seminary. He wrote an incredible resolution for the Southern Baptist Convention, which spells out God's what Scripture teaches about male-female relationships. It is so powerful. The resolution, they didn't even bring it up for a vote. Refused to. It's really appalling to me. And we're going to put that on our Facebook page again today. And I would ask you to share it because it's so profound. Bobby is a man who was raised by a lesbian mom and her partner. Bobby was, for a time in his life, also homosexual. He's married and has two kids. He's just, he loves God. He's grown so much spiritually and biblically that he knows what he's talking about a whole lot more than the Russell Moores at the Southern Baptist Convention. Bobby knows, and yet they won't listen to him, at least not yet. I haven't heard it. I haven't seen it. If you know something different, you let me know. But that's kind of the situation. So we'll put that resolution on our Facebook page so that you can actually read and remind yourself of what God thinks, maybe in deeper ways than you've ever pondered it. And share it as widely as you possibly can. Now, Laura in Oklahoma, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to have a conversation with you. I wanted to tell you that I am deeply grieved in my spirit and my bones over this situation. I've listened to your program when you had the gentleman on. One thing that is clear is that he knows the word of God and he knows the truth. And we're taught that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And it's heartbreaking to know that the Southern Baptist Convention or the people who are in charge of it are refusing to hear the truth, which means they are choosing to walk in the lie. And it's hit a really close to home, and I wondered what you might have to say or maybe later on down the road that Bobby might be able to answer. I have a relative, in fact, it's a sister who is a believer. She has several friends that she's very intimately close with homosexuals. She will say that homosexuality is a sin, and she'll go on and on about how she doesn't agree with what they do, but she's not their judge, and she continues to hang out with them in a I'm here to speak life into you, more as a social, just a social intimate gathering, and I feel like that what I see in her is a constant making excuses for how they are, and she'll constantly refer back to, well, you know, God made them. He knit them in their womb. He knew what they were going to do. He allowed it. He did this. He did that. You know, and I feel like that we're seeing that manifest in the church overall.
Laura, I'm sorry. You know, we're having trouble with our phones this morning. I'm sure you guys heard that noise. Laura, I apologize. I want to respond to that at least as much as I can. Yeah, this is the danger. You have actually fleshed out for us the problem with what's been proposed, and I'll be specific, to the Southern Baptist Convention by the likes of Russell Moore. And that is that people are born that way. And so the whole point is, and Catholics have taken the same logic, people can't help their propensities, and so they just have to be celibate. But Bobby, who was a gay man himself, raised by lesbian parents, that whole world he understands fully, plus now he understands the theology, and we should too. But Bobby has lived this, explains that, no, God's design for mankind is male-female, not variations on the theme, and that the way, when you put on the mind of Christ, it is male or female. That's not to say that we don't have, look, we have sympathy with our friends who are tempted to commit adultery, don't we? Do we have sympathy for our men in the church who are tempted by pornography? Do we have sympathy in the church for women who, I don't know, people who have trouble with lying or stealing or whatever? We were all sinners. We were all sinners, redeemed and forgiven and called by God. All of us have some propensity to sin. The problem is when you start saying it's okay to, you know, you can't help it. You were born that way. A liar, an adulterer. Yeah, well, we were all born sinners. But it's when you are allowed to, are excused for continuing to harbor those tendencies. We are to purge and to purify our minds. That's Bobby's point. And to align ourselves. And that we are to be able, the problem is the next step is, of course, banning any kind of therapy that would help someone come out of that lifestyle. Because we understand, it's okay. You were born, you can't really help it. That's kind of the tack that the Southern Baptists have taken under the leadership of Russell Moore and the ERLC. And I reject it. I reject it. And so does Bobby and many other of my friends who work on this issue and are experts and know what they're talking about. I know it's not popular in terms of the media. It won't get you an interview with the New York Times or the Washington Post, which is what Russell Moore seems to like. But it is the politically incorrect position on this is that God's design is perfect. It's male, female, created he, them. We are not to sort of subjugate or a subject or play with the kinds of sexual perversions that our minds go to. We're not to excuse it. We're to purge it and do our best. Now, and there are practical ways of doing that. People that are ex-gay, like Bobby, by the way, his blog is English Maniff. I know that's kind of a strange name, but he's an English professor, so thus the name English Maniff. We'll put that on our Facebook page, too, because Bobby provides really practical help for people struggling with that lifestyle. Look, this is not said. I can say from me, too. I have been working on this issue for years. I don't know how many years. Years. Let's just say years. When I was the president of Concerned Women for America, the people that worked for me were experts on this, which brought me up to snuff and made me understand nothing that I've ever said or done. And this has anything but compassion for people caught in that sin. I have compassion for women and men who are caught in adultery and torn. Maybe they have a bad husband, a bad wife, and they're tempted. Listen, I have compassion for that, but compassion does not translate to rubber stamping and saying, you can't help it. Yes, you can. You have to. If you're going to be seriously serious followers of Christ, you got to sort your business out, and you got to take on, you got to crucify yourself. Which is what Paul has told us all along, and that means all of your desires. I'm sorry I'm going on and on, but this is done out of love, not out of hatred for anybody in the LGBT movement, any transgender person. It's because it's having right thinking. It brings sanity, the right mind, and God's ways are far more, you know, they're more excellent, Paul said, oh, Theophilus, more excellent way. It's the right way. It's the way of lining yourself up and sorting things out. And it's done out of love, and it has to be driven by love. And love does not say to somebody who's caught in sin, I understand, it's okay, you can't help it. That's not loving. That's not loving. All right, I need to get off my high horse and go to Mario in New Mexico. Good morning, Mario. Change the subject for us.
Okay. You know, I am so thankful and grateful to God that he has opened my heart and my eyes to see that the Bible is true. You know, God put Trump in office, and I believe it's because we prayed. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, nothing's going to happen to him until God says it's time. God has got his hand on him because of all the things that's coming against him. You know, the main thing is that he's friends with Israel, too. You know, that says a lot, because all Israel's got to do is one of these days, if they come against them, cry out to God, and we're going home.
You know, go ahead, Mario. Make your last point.
One more thing is that here in Hobbs, they've got a crying Virgin Mary statue that people are coming from all places to see. You know, and I'm just saying, Lord, I'm glad that I can see that it's, you know, a statue does not cry. And I know that I'll probably come against a lot of people, but it doesn't cry. You know, anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you very much.
Mario, it's great to hear from you. I wish we had more time, but very good point. I certainly heard that. By the way, I got this wonderful email from Hector, who called in last week. Hector was brought to the United States when he was five. He became a resident and then naturalized citizen. He has the most incredible things to say, and now you know what I think we should do is repost this on Facebook, Hector's comments, because he talks about the importance of citizenship, the history of the United States. He said, I may not have been born on the U.S. in the U.S. soil, but I'm very proud to call myself an American. Illegal immigration makes a mockery of the immigration process, much to the detriment of those that want to uphold the law. And so he makes some very good points. He talks about separating families, how bad that is. He certainly has a problem with that, but he thinks that people who are separated, they should just all be deported till the child is old enough to decide to come back to the States independent of the parents if the child was born here. Just some really good points. And Hector, thank you so much. I really, really appreciated everything that you wrote here. And certainly, I told you last week, I'll tell you again, you are the kind of immigrant that this country thrives on. You are what makes America great. It's like new blood. It's like new believers coming into the church. Seriously, I mean, there's a correlation, like people newly seeing the beauty of this country and its documents, its foundings, and we see it through fresh eyes when we hear it from people like you. Let me go to Russell. No, let me go to the bishop in Virginia. Bishop, good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. God bless you. I appreciate you standing on the front line and standing for truth, seeking truth unto power and not compromising our biblical principles. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
I wanted to say something about the church embracing politics, because what we're starting to see now is a church that compromises the Bible just to stand with a particular party. And we were never meant to compromise biblical principles just because of politics, but to embrace it. When we hear people like Senator Cory Booker telling the world to love, he has no heart to lead this country as a president. And we need to understand, if the church doesn't step up, we'll see more people like that twisting the scriptures, twisting biblical principles just for the position in politics. And we must stand up now. We must embrace it. And we have to take a stand now when we see things that are not done right, whether they're Democrat or Republican. We must embrace politics as a body of Christ. I'm going to get out of the way and let you speak on that. But God bless you. Thank you for having
me. Yeah, God bless you too, Bishop. Thank you so much. And, of course, he's right. And I think, you know, every Christian, every era of Christianity, you know, since Jesus left and he left the little church to grow, has struggled with taking on the culture in which they live. You know, in the Catholic Church, they merged Christian doctrine with pagan culture, and that's why the statues came. That's a simplification, but that's what happened. We have to resist our culture. This is what's happening with the Southern Baptist Church right now. So it's like Linda said there, it's like it's really cool now. The Me Too movement, women's rights, and then homosexuality, those are two big things of our day. So the Southern Baptist leadership is being influenced by culture in the wrong way. Look, there's a right way to be on both of those. There's truth on both sides of the line. And the thing that we have to do is constantly recalibrate our thinking in light of God's word and then remain steadfast. No wiggle room, no moving to the left, no moving to the right. Some areas are gray, others are not. And certainly on the tour in the issue of God's designed for male and female, there is no wiggle room. Tomorrow, I'm talking with a longtime teacher. You will not want to miss her story, so I hope you'll stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.